You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
It's hour number three, live from ESPN Studios in the Seaport District here in New York City. It's Alan Hahn. It's Bart Scott. And Bart, when it's hour number three, you know what time it is.
That means it's the power hour, hour, hour.
Yes. Hour. As Bart's been, we've been ripping through every hip-hop R&B duet we could possibly find from the 90s.
We've been going Waka Flocka, man.
We have been.
I wonder if the young new school got any love.
Yeah, that's right. All right, so Devontae Smith joining us right now, courtesy of Panini Trading Cards. And Devontae had a fantastic season. Really, what a hell of a 2 years he's had.
Remind me of Marvin.
Think about that. Alabama, Heisman, all the stuff that he did.
Yeah.
Championship and all. Then they gets drafted, goes to Philly. 900 yards receiving. They love him in Philadelphia.
You know who he reminds me of? You know who you remind me of, Devontae?
Yeah. Welcome in, Devontae. How you doing?
Remind me a little bit of Marvin
I'm
Harrison,
good. I can't complain.
You got a little Marvin Harrison to your game to me, man. Yeah, you know I mean? You always got to rush them little thin goes, man. They'd be crazy. You grab them, you realize they wiry, they strong. You know, you run up on them. It ain't about how much you weigh. Sometimes these dudes be strong, man. You strong at your routes, man. You get great separation. But what I want to ask you is, you know, you got into this division. You saw that everybody just assumed that this was Dallas's division for the near future. You guys have closed the gap in such a fast period. How are you looking? How excited are you about next year, knowing all that draft capital that you guys have to improve your football team?
I mean, I'm very excited. The team was real young this year. So just coming in next year with everybody, just having a year under their belt, an extra year under their belt, just to go back in, we know what to expect now.
Devontae, tell me about your coach, because you mentioned it's a young team, but how about the youngest coaching staff in the league as well, Nick Sirianni. At 40 years old as the head coach. And in the beginning, people were wondering, like, what were they going to be? Like, what was the staff going to be? How would this work? And by the end of the season, he looked like a guy that you guys like to play for. He looked like a guy that was very much in control. Tell me about what that experience was like going from, you know, obviously a legend of a coach at Alabama to a young coach with Nick Sirianni in Philly.
I think it came down to, as a team, just finding our identity. And once we found what our identity was as a team, that's when we started the role. So I feel like that's what it came down to, everybody finding out what the team identity was, everybody embracing their role and going with it.
Now, you talk about that, and listen, you know, it's no such thing a lot of times with us athletes as moral victories. You know, you guys were able to get into the tournament, and you got to see what a championship-caliber football team looks like in terrific time, and who knows if he's going to retire or not retire. But what experience was gained from seeing, you know, just the speed, the environment of playoff football in the NFL?
I mean, the way you prepare, the mistakes are very minimal. You can't make as many mistakes as you were making in a regular season. I mean, in those games, one mistake can cost you the whole game. So the stakes are very, very minimal, and you just have to be ready and be able to adjust quickly.
Tell us about Jalen Hurts and your relationship with him. We look at the NFL, and we always see the quarterback wide receiver duos. We've been talking about them, which ones are the best. Actually, right now, championship weekend, there's several of them that we point to and say, boy, these two are really special. They've just got that connection. And one of them being two young guys in Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. In Philly, they hope it's going to be you and Jalen Hurts. What do you think of him as a quarterback, and what type of relationship do you guys have and what you've built so far this season?
I mean, he's a great guy. That's the type of guys you want at quarterback, somebody that's going to hold you accountable when you're doing things wrong. Whether it's you running the route not at the right depth or you running the wrong route, he's going to hold you accountable, and that's the type of quarterback that you want, somebody that's always in the film room, finding little things on the sideline, making a small adjustment. That's the type of guy that you want at quarterback.
Is there anything about him that people don't know, if there's any criticism that he does get that you're like, that's not accurate? Is there anything like that you could share? Like, let me tell you what he's really about versus maybe a perception of him.
I mean, he's not one of those guys that's going to go on the media, go back and forth, and sit there and apologize for not playing good. He's just going to go out there and just do it. I mean, He's actions. That's what it's all about. He makes a mistake. He's going to do whatever he can to correct it. And that's the type of guy that you want, somebody that's not really into the media and things like that. But he knows what he's doing wrong. He's going to correct it.
You know, it's crazy. Like, you know, I remember my first year in the league. Now, I didn't go to – I tell people I didn't really go to college. I went to 13th grade because I didn't play. I played at D1AA, but I still was able to get 11 years in the league in. But I feel like you're more connected to your college, especially after your first year, because you still have a big relationship with a lot of guys still there at that roster. Now, the trend in the NFL is, hey, who you want to play with? Now, you guys got 3 first-round draft picks. If it was one guy from Alabama that you could say, hey, coach, we got to go get this guy, who you going to get and why?
I mean, my guy, he probably wouldn't be the weak pick, but, I mean, he'll be Evan Neal. I mean, just because I seen when he came in as a freshman, the way that he attacked everything. He attacked it like a pro. He's very mature for his age. And I mean, just that type of guy, that's somebody that you want up there that's going to take command on the offensive line, that's going to do what he has to do to make sure everybody's doing what they have to do.
Yeah, he's somebody, you probably will see him go in the top 5 maybe. Like, he's highly rated already. And you guys, that's the one thing that I think the Eagles really proved. Like you said, we found our identity, and that was really running the ball, playing very physical at the line of scrimmage. That line is a very strong part of this team. So when you look at that offense and what you guys are able to do and running, you know, physically, just beating teams, being able to run the ball and then having you as that threat, what addition, what need do you think this team has to take that next step on the offensive side?
I mean, just us as, I mean, the players that we have, just becoming more dialed into the things that's going on, knowing what we're trying to set up. Knowing that we're going to run the ball a lot. So when we do pass it, we have to make the most of the opportunity.
What does it mean to you that, as I said at the very beginning, as I introduced you, and by the way, we're talking with Devontae Smith from the Philadelphia Eagles, that in Philadelphia, they love you. I mean, you are a player. That's a tough place to play, as you can ask a lot of players, some that just left there.
Have you seen Ben Simmons around? Yeah. Notice message.
It's not an easy place to play. But when they love you, they love you. And it just feels like that fan base took to you quickly from the very beginning, and you haven't let them down, obviously, with your play. What does that mean to you to go to a place like that, a tough place to play, and get that type of reaction right away?
I mean, it is a tough place to play. I mean, they just want to see everybody that comes to just play to the ability that they know they can. That's the main thing, but you can't let that get to you. For me, myself, I mean, it's big for me because that's the type of place that you want to play, where the fans are into it, the fans are engaged. And, I mean, it's one of the best places ever. I mean, just to be there and see how much the fans cherish, not even just football, but basketball, the hockey team, just everything around that the fans are into it.
You catch any Sixers games? Do you go see Joel Embiid and what he's been doing lately?
Yeah, I've seen a couple.
He's having a great year. There's no doubt about that. Is there a team in the NFC East that you've already said, I hate this team more than any other?
I mean, I've always kind of hated Dallas, even when I was growing up. So
that was already – you were already born with that.
Well,
that's the most good.
That's the most important thing you have to know. Like, when you get in there, you have to – like, I played for the Ravens for the majority of my career, and it was understood. Like, listen – we ain't friends with nobody from Pittsburgh. Ain't no high fives and warm ups. When you see them, when it's Pittsburgh week, it's about that action.
Yeah. All right. Well, and again, we appreciate you joining us. Devontae Smith joining us here. Tell us about what you're doing with Panini Trading Cards.
Just doing a lot of signing. I mean, coming here, seeing a lot of cards that are being made for me. Just something that you kind of grow up wanting to have your own trading card and just here signing it.
Yeah, it's a very cool thing. Hey, congratulations on what was a great season, a great start to your career. We appreciate the time with us. Thanks so much.
Hey, send me a rookie card, too, because I'm balling on the budget, man.
Good.
All right. Well, players in L.A. Right now, and they're working with Panini, and it's exclusive trading card partner for the NFL, NFLPA, signing their rookie trading cards, Devontae obviously being one of them. So pretty cool, like he said, as you grow up, you always want your own trading cards, so that's cool. So you can get Panini NFL trading cards at retailers, including Target, Walmart, hobby shops nationwide, and online at www.paniniamerica.net. He gave the right answer about which team he already hates, Dallas Cowboys.
They better be in the DNA, because when it's Dallas week, and it's weird, you know what I mean, to be that team that you're the team that everybody hates. I think it's universal, right? I think that even though with the Giants, and especially during the DeSean Jackson and Andy Reid era, no team has taken more from the Giants than Dallas, I mean, than Philadelphia. But I feel like everybody collectively within the division, the team that really gets under their skin is the Dallas Cowboys, even though individually the other teams within the division may have taken more from them. I can remember DeSean Jackson moonwalking into the end zone after taking a punt back and all that type of stuff.
The division, it's been – and that's the thing that we – I think we said this a couple of weeks ago, right? That division at one time was an elite division. Where if you think about through the 90s, Washington, couple, you know, Super Bowl, Cowboys, Super Bowls, Giants, Super Bowls, right? And appearance and later on in 2000 –
Philly,
Philly went to like four straight conference championship games, right, and a Super Bowl. Like you had, like everybody was doing something, and then it just was this drought where everybody. Like, the Giants had two, but Washington hadn't done anything in years. Philly finally gets their Super Bowl a couple of years ago, and Dallas, you know, has been a maddening, frustrating kind of underachieving franchise. So you know this division, and for those who aren't old enough to know, this used to be an elite division. And
we just look at this division like we look at the NFC West.
Yeah, yeah, right. No, it's true. A very tough division.
It was, like, it was three teams.
And every game against each other was a brawl, absolute brawl.
Eli, Donovan McNabb, and Tony Romo. That used to be the matchup.
And maybe the, you know, maybe it starts heading that way. You never know. But for one more team that has to get it right, and that's the Giants.
Yeah,
now, yesterday, they introduced their new GM, Joe Shane, and they should. The Giants, now, as we have a couple other coaching hires, Nathaniel Hackett, he's from the Packers, the OC there. He's going to Denver. And then Matt Eberflus leaving Indianapolis Colts, and he's going to Chicago. Well, so those are filled.
Well, Quinn said he's not going anywhere.
Dan Quinn deciding he's staying in Dallas as their defensive coordinator. He had interviewed with the Giants, with other places.
Twice, I believe.
Maybe he sees, all right, you kind of know who's getting hired, so he probably figured, out, I'm not in it, let me just stay here.
Yeah, Dayball.
And there's some jobs I don't want. You know, because it's a mess, so I don't go in there. Does that suggest that the Giants have their guy in place? Because
yep.
Shane did kind of suggest they could have somebody in place by this weekend.
I think it's Brian Daboll.
And Brian Daboll makes the most sense since that's where he's from, the Buffalo Bills.
You have to hurry up and get him before Miami because Miami's hot on his trail.
Yeah, yeah.
They've seen firsthand what Buffalo has become.
Right. So Adam Schefter talking about the Giants coaching search, and he's expecting it to get done this weekend.
I would think that before the conference championship games kick off on Sunday, the Giants will have a new head coach. Obviously, the finalists seem to be Quinn, Frazier, Flores, Daboll, and I think it'll be one of those guys, obviously, and I think they'll have a decision after they wrap up the interview process here soon.
Okay, so you could take Quinn off the list, Leslie Frazier and Daboll, both Buffalo guys.
I don't see how you go.
And then Brian Flores.
I don't see how you go Patriots. I don't see how you do that.
Interesting.
I don't see how you go Patriots. Yeah, but just had a bad taste in your mouth with the Patriots way. I don't know if you want to go back to the Patriots way. And I know everybody's individual, but they still have a slight, you know, flavor of the same thing.
And again, Daboll, because of what they did with Josh Allen and what they have in Daniel Jones and how John Mara has made it clear, the owner of the team has said that, you know,
he let you down.
We got to, like, Daniel Jones, we got to give him a shot. So let's listen to this. Now, this is when John Mara, this is after the press conference yesterday, he was surrounded by reporters, and he said something really interesting about why he's not ready to give up on Daniel Jones.
We do feel that Daniel can play. We've done everything possible to screw this kid up since he's been here. We keep changing coaches, keep changing offensive coordinators, keep changing offensive line coaches. You know, I take a lot of responsibility for that, but let's bring in the right group of coaches now. And give him some continuity and try to rebuild the offensive line and then be able to make an intelligent evaluation of whether he can be the franchise quarterback or not. I have a lot of hope in Daniel. I know how badly he wants it. I know how the players feel about him. So we are certainly not giving up on him.
I mean, refreshing honesty there. We've done everything we could to screw this kid up. Putting it on the franchise, which I got to be I like that from John Mara. I like that he's not trying to sugarcoat it. I mean, we keep changing coaches. We keep changing everything up here. We've done the offensive line. We did a terrible job with that. We're ruining this kid. We don't even know if he's good. How are we going to give up on him? We don't even know. And I think that's fair. But it's going to cost you a year. And you got to be okay with that. And whoever comes in as coach has to also buy into the fact that, no, I like what he can do. I think I can do something with
that. It's not going to cost you a year. You want to see that the personnel is here. It's not like the personnel isn't here. It's enough personnel in here for you to be a 10-wins team.
And keep in mind, their offensive line, they missed two pieces for pretty much the whole season. That's another thing about the line. The line had injury after injury.
But Andrews
it wasn't just inept. It was also injured.
I mean, you heard Devontae Smith. Oh, yeah. I would get Evan Neal.
Yeah.
Go get Evan Neal, and now if you need to move one of them to right tackle, now you have two tackles. Your edges are secure. Let's start there.
Yeah. And that is something to watch with the Giants. Is could it turn around quickly with the right person in charge? That's what you're looking for. That's what remains to be seen. Let's take 888-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's take James on Daniel Jones. Hey, James.
What's going on, guys?
How we doing?
Koi Pond King and Mr. Hip Hop Hans. How y'all doing?
Good.
All right. Hey, three things. Number one, I'm still glad, Bart, that, you know, you're involved with the koi fish and stuff. It shows us a softer side of you, you know? You don't get to see the soft side of warriors too much. And you know, your passion and enthusiasm for the koi, you know, is good to see that sometimes.
Appreciate it.
That's one.
He's very soft.
Number two, Han, you with hip-hop, right? You know, I deal with comic books a lot on Instagram.
Okay.
You know, my name is Multiverse Comic Parade on there. And it's very interesting now that comic books are infusing with the hip-hop culture. They have these things called
NFTs.
Hip-hop comic book barriers.
Ooh.
And I want you to take a look when you get some spare time,
all right.
Han. And they are designing covers based on hip-hop albums.
Oh, I like that. I always wanted to have a thing for Bart and I on our Instagram where Bart and I, like, we try to, like, replicate album covers and movie posters, like, from that era, from the 90s.
As long as you don't pick Lil' Kim's album cover, we could.
I would rather not. Did you want to talk about Daniel Jones, though, James?
Yeah, Daniel Jones. Now, here's my thing with that. He's not clear for contact. Did he have some spinal fusion? Like, what is going on?
Because
it's still not clear to me.
Yeah, they're being real cautious with the neck. I know that is something that they just want to make sure it's you know, never an issue again. But they don't feel like it's anything like that. I don't believe it's considered serious. But when it's the neck, you know.
Yeah, you fuse it. You worry about that. Remember Eli, Peyton Manning had a lot to do with his neck, and it just became degenerative. You know, but, you know, when you got a head as big as Peyton, you know your neck going to have problems trying to carry that thing around.
Let's take Adam. Adam, what's going on? Adam has an idea for Tom Brady.
What's up, guys? Hey, you're missing the duo of the 90s. Outkast, if you guys didn't say that already. But also, yeah, Tom
with
Brady.
Who? Hold on. You can't just gloss over that. Which one? Outkast with who?
With who?
Oh, God. Brain fart. But real quick, though, I'm sorry. Tom Brady, the Titans, though, with his boy Vrabel. I mean, I could see that for 2 years. Aaron Rodgers, that would be scary, too. But
I just can't see him moving. I just can't see him moving again.
Move to Tennessee.
Moving his family again.
You know,
Tom.
Old people, they like to be warm. Hey, listen, retirement community is Florida, and that's where he went.
Yeah, that's not one that I can see is that one.
Yeah, that's crazy. You're not going to go mess with Vrabel.
No, I don't think so.
Remember, that's what we thought at first.
Let's take Mike. Mike on McCarthy and Sean Payton. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How you doing?
Good. You guys had a call yesterday. Some guy called in and compared Payton and McCarthy. And he basically said they're the same coach.
Yeah. He gave you the resume, the whole resume thing about the Super Bowls and the wins and all that stuff. Yep, you're right.
And, I mean, that was so bogus. I mean, you look at McCarthy. McCarthy's done nothing but chase greatness his whole career. I'm sorry. You know, he played with Montana. He went on to Green Bay. Thought Dallas is great. Went to Dallas. Peyton creates greatness. Peyton wanted Romo, took a beat-up Breeze, and brought him back to greatness. And he did nothing but create great teams in New Orleans in a division that hit hot spots. And actually had to compete for the division. You got to remember, in a 10-year span, that division had two other teams to go to the Super Bowl and two MVPs.
Carolina. Right?
No, listen, I got it, but
obviously Atlanta.
But you would think with autonomy and all control that he would have more than one Super Bowl appearance. I mean, you talk about a dude that lost to Case Keenum as well. In big moments, like, so let's not crown him that much because he did have some disappointing losses.
They got screwed
2 years in a row.
They got screwed a couple times too, man.
The Rams? Yeah, the Rams. And but Case Keenum, that was real. That was on you. That was your player that messed up. That had nothing to do with anybody else. Bounty gate.
I don't know if I look, I'm not. You're the NFL expert. I'm not, right? But I know from following the league as long as I have that I don't feel like people talk about Mike McCarthy the same way they talk about Sean Payton. I any expert that I've heard talk about either guy, there's a different type of tone from one to the other.
But the same result.
Maybe you're right. The resume. Both
has two former all MVP. Well, Drew Brees never won MVP, but they both got two Hall of Fame quarterbacks.
We'll continue with your calls. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Championship weekend. We're a little bit closer. The betting lines remain stagnant. So let's discuss coming up with our expert how to play the action. We'll do that after Bart tells us about O'Reilly.
O'Reilly. Is your check engine light on? Don't ignore it. Stop at O'Reilly Auto Parts today and let their professional parts people scan your vehicle for free. They will retrieve the code, discuss possible solutions, and even find a professional technician if needed. They can even help you find a full service center online. Just visit O'ReillyAuto.com and click on find a repair shop. When you see the check engine light on, get the answers you need from professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Back after this. O'Reilly.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
You're not throwing the ball to me. You're not utilizing me to even give me a chance to screw it up.
Followed by Greeny.
The Giants have got to be the most technologically challenged franchise in all of sports.
Spend your mornings with us. Right here on ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
Baby!
Now, I know Ja tries here, but it's...
Yeah, because, you know, the only person
that voice is just...
It's like, it's an art to bad singing. It's an art to bad singing. Like, Wyclef does it in that little Haitian, like, you know he can't sing, but because he's doing it in, like, that island twang. Like, it just sounds like...
Sounds good.
It sounds like Ja has, like, laryngitis,
acid
reflux, and heartburn.
Still a good song, though, Ashanti. Ashanti certainly helps there. It's Alan Hahn. It's Bart Scott. We're Bart and Hahn, presented by Progressive Insurance. And we go to Dougie Fresh. Doug Kazarian, Daily Wager, joins us right now. How are we doing, Doug?
Good to be with you, fellas. The season's winding down. Yep. It's getting a little sad, but that's okay.
No, it's still money-making time. And what's interesting is the Chiefs opening up at -7, and it's kind of sticking there right now. Do you expect at any point that something's going to fluctuate, or are we going to sit there at 7?
So it's funny you ask that. I just taped a podcast with an odds maker, and it looks like we're going to stay at 7. There's been no sharp action, just like a little bit on the under from 55 to 54. But, you know, 7's one of those key numbers, right? 3 we talk about is the most key number in NFL betting. And then I believe 10 is the second most common margin of victory since the extra point moved back in the mid-2010s. So 15 or 16. So if it's not 10, it's 7. So 10 or 7, you know, so it's two, it's a really key number. So I don't think we're going to move off of it. I really don't. And there's been kind of two-way action. I think if we see any movement, we see the Niners line go to 3.
Ooh, that's damn – ooh. Mm-hmm. That's so disrespectful to Matthew Stafford exercising the ghost. But I tell you what, you know me, I always like the interesting bets. I try to get a Gatorade bet in a place where they don't even pour Gatorade. But – What about, can I get a prop bet on how many times Joe Burrow goes down? Can I get one of those?
Sack?
Oh, yeah. They'll put a sack prop up. They haven't posted it, I don't believe. But, you know, that's definitely like anything that is topical. Like, remember when the Astros, all the punishment came down with the cheating, and then, you know, they were saying we're going to – so the books always try to capitalize on a sports storyline, and they put up odds for, like, who's going to be the first Astro hit by pitch. So anytime there's a storyline, odds makers want to make prop bets. Mm-hmm. This was a storyline, the 9 sacks, yeah. Right? So odds makers are certainly going to put up a prop on that. And it's the conference title game, so they're going to have a lot of handle. But, you know, there's total punts. There's total everything. So sacks will definitely be in there as well.
Oh, that's going to be juicy because it will hurt an athlete's feelings because, like, we're really sensitive people. Like, it would be hurt if it was
how
our
an offensive lineman's family member like no, goes, man, I'm taking the over on the sacks. Saying, how
no,
dare you?
No, what I'm saying, if this is a prop bet about who's going to give up the first sack, that's specific. That's calling out a specific bump.
Very.
But yeah, Chris Jones going to do you.
Yeah, that part's very specific. That would go around a locker room. But, you know, the Rams have a chance to just keep playing at home all the way to the big game, all the way to the Super Bowl. But you would think, in most cases, playing at home would be a big advantage. But because the Niners seem to have owned them lately, you know, it's a 3.5-point spread right now. Is that less? Is that more about the 49ers' history against the Rams? Or is it that home field for them in SoFi doesn't really resonate yet?
Well, it's a little bit of everything, right? So it's always like a chemistry experiment. You put in a bunch of stuff. I did a story for ESPN.com before last season. So 2 seasons ago, talking about pandemic, no fans, what is home field advantage really worth? And we, you know, when I grew up, you heard, oh, home field's worth 3 points. That's not really the case, especially with key numbers. I think it depends on the game line. But for the most part, it's about 1.2 points, right? A place like Arrowhead will be worth a little bit more. But the research shows that home field is really not. Actually, road teams have done great against the spread the last 4 or 5 years because there's a little bit too much expectation with the home team. Remember, travel has improved so much with private planes and everything. Fitness, training, so the wear and tear of the travel is not as taxing on the body. The technological advancements, quarterbacks now have all the microphone systems and everything like that with the sidelines. So playing on the road is no longer that much of a disadvantage. I think there's a comfort level at home. You sleep in your own bed, things like that. So I think that's an advantage, and you don't have to travel and the nonsense. But sometimes it's good to get out of Dodge, and you're more in work mode than you are at home mode, right? So that's one aspect. And then the fact that L.A. is not like a huge home field advantage, right? It's not Arrowhead. But going back over the years, like Seattle, right, we always think it's a great home field advantage. They were great when the team was great, right? The Legion of Boom, when they won at least one playoff game all those years, yeah, they were awesome at home. They only lost like one game, if that, at home all season. But when the roster thinned out, then they lost games at home. So it's really correlated to talent more than it is an actual stadium. So, yeah, I would think it's 3. It would be 3 on a neutral, but it's 3.5 in L.A.
Yeah, I have to feel like Arrowhead, though, does have that distinct difference just because of the history there, that's tradition. Even when the team sucked, it's a hard place to play. Whereas SoFi is so new, and also as we're learning since it opened and fans were allowed in, they almost have as many visiting fans. Like the visiting team is just as loud. Like, isn't that what Stafford's wife, Bart, said? But she was like,
they're not
the melting pot of LA.
Yeah, like he couldn't hear, and it's his place. Like the other fans were screaming so loud.
Well, they're newly there, and also I believe that what they said is that you have to get your tickets, you have to live in a certain area code. So they're trying to stack the deck as best they can by only selling tickets to people
because
from
Niners
certain areas.
Fans travel well, right. And it's not a far place to go.
Hey, Doogie, do you like any of the over-unders in any of these games?
Yeah.
So Kansas City and
to be honest, the lines are really tight right now, right? Uh-huh. I would say, if anything, I like the Niners plus the 3.5. And I would say the over in the Chiefs-Bengals game. I mean, I just don't see how either defense will stop the other one. But, I mean, Josh Allen made so many plays last week, it's hard to kind of equate the two. But I think the Chiefs will score at will, and I think the Bengals should do enough damage against the Chiefs defense that I don't think is very good. Remember that run they had with 8 straight wins or whatever it was? Yeah. Those quarterbacks they faced were terrible, right? They faced Green Bay, but without Aaron Rodgers. They faced, all these Daniel Jones. They almost lost at home on a Monday Night Football game. They only won 20-17. So this defensive resurgence, so to speak, is a little bit exaggerated for the Chiefs.
Yeah, the 54.5 is a real – that's a big number. But, yeah, it'd be a lot of fun to watch that. Bart and I were both saying the ideal Super Bowl – this is outside of betting. The ideal Super Bowl, because of just the action as far as on the field offense, we love scoring, obviously would be Kansas City and the Rams, because you just have two quarterbacks, two offenses, a lot of stars, a lot of that kind of stuff, the sizzle that you want for a Super Bowl. But is there a different perspective from you? I know usually, you know, a better roots for himself more than anything else, but does that change at all? Like, is there a Super Bowl that you'd be angling for? Like, I want to see this one? Or is it strictly
I think odd makers definitely do not want the Niners in the Super Bowl. I don't think they mind because it's still a, you know, well-known franchise. But in terms of prop bets, the more star power, you use the word sizzle, that's accurate. They want sizzle. They want the Chiefs and they want the Rams because they have identifiable names with Stafford and Mahomes, and then all the receivers as well. There's big names, big cities as well in terms of L.A. But the Niners, it's just kind of like not that sexy to do like a Deebo Samuel prop. I mean, they have Kittle, but for the most part, I know professional bettors want the Rams and the Chiefs because we're going to see a high volume on the prop market. Because remember, Super Bowl has over 50% of the handle is on the props, and there's going to be a lot of variance in the prop market with passing yards and everything, and then pro bettors like to attack the numbers accordingly. So the odds makers and the pro bettors are definitely rooting for the Rams, and then obviously the Chiefs as well they would prefer, but at least the Bengals do have a couple guys that resonate like a Burrow and Jamar Chase.
That's fantastic perspective. I was really curious about that. So you described that well, as always. Yeah. Doug, great as always. Enjoy the weekend. Thanks so much.
All right, fellas. Awesome to be with you. Have a good weekend. Enjoy the games.
You got it. Doug Kazarian, again, giving us that. He doesn't just tell you what to bet or how to bet. I thought that was interesting, though, Bart, right? It does matter when it comes to the matchups, because the more sizzle in a matchup in the Super Bowl, because obviously there's a lot more action on it, there's more people that are interested in it, you want all the available prop bets and the different things. So the more stars you have, the more interest you have in the game.
Exactly.
From the betting perspective. I didn't know. I wondered.
Because
if you're betting, I'm rooting for me. I could care less who's playing. Yeah. I just root for me and my decision-making. Yeah. But there's more action with more star power.
Yeah, and if you're a betting man, like, you may not understand the ins and outs of football, but if you're a casual fan, you know that Joe Burrow line is horrible. You've heard it 1,000 times.
Yep.
And you're saying, well, I look at the pressure that Mahomes is going to put on his offense to make sure that they throw. So he's probably going to get sacked a lot because he may be behind and have to catch up. So, hey, I can understand, hey, he probably is going to get sacked 5 times or less or 5 times or more. I'll take that because I can understand it.
I want to see if there actually is a prop bet for that. I want to see what the number is. I want to see if you think it's disrespectful.
It'd be so disrespectful if they had it on the offensive lineman. Like, Steve is going to give up 4 sacks. Like, man, hold up, man. Talk about my
mind. One specific guy is going to get beat that often.
Oh, yeah, Chris Jones will have 2 sacks. Hold up, man. Hell, he play over me.
If you were going to set an over-under for how many times Joe Burrow is sacked in this game, what would be your number that you would set?
5.
Over-under of 5.
Yeah.
Damn.
Because you got to think that he's going to throw a lot. He just got sacked 9 times, so 5 is an improvement.
Does Kansas City have that kind of? I mean, we know Tennessee.
Chris Jones, Frank Clark, and Melvin Ingram. Absolutely, they do.
You think they're hungry? Yeah, they're going to be. They're going to.
Did you
eat.
See what they did last week? Those are great pass rushers.
If you set it at 5,
and you got to throw,
would you take the over or the under? I mean, there's 4.5. Would you take the over?
I'll take the over. I think he's going down at least 5 times because he's going to have to throw the ball at least 40.
Something more to talk about tomorrow for sure. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's right, Barsha
Thomas. I told you, Brady's gone.
We'll get some more trash talk tomorrow as well, but we got you coming up next, of course, and what we have is the Knicks they didn't even compete from the start of this game last night in Miami on national TV.
Well, they competed.
Trade deadline is just 2 weeks away, and there's only one move they should make. And if they can't make this move, they shouldn't make any moves. I'll explain next. Barton Hunt, ESPN Radio.
They competed in 11.
Wake up and get up with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Joe Burrow is fascinating because he's a young leader. When you're a young leader and you're doing it the way you want to do it, tell people what you really feel and how you really feel about what you think.
KJ and Max, weekdays starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Bart and Han.
Always knew.
My mom listening too. Feel the magic. She love Anita Baker too.
Come on now, this voice.
Now that's just a singer. You hear that, Alicia? This is how you hit them notes.
Oh, don't so what? Don't bring Alicia into this. Just enjoy this.
Pain is where you should be.
Anita Baker. She turned 64 yesterday.
Listen, I love her to death. I love her to death. Worst IHOP ever in the history. Worst IHOP owner in the history of pancakes.
We need to have Anita Baker on just so we can talk about that IHOP. You know what? She's going to, she announced yesterday, back on the stage, doing live in Vegas.
I'll be there.
May.
Caught up in the rapture of you. I'll be there.
May of this year.
You hear that, Just?
Let's go.
I'm off, baby. I'm going to see ya.
Why don't we just bring the equipment and go to Vegas and do shows in Vegas?
We got a studio in Vegas.
Wait, we got ESPN Vegas.
We there. We going to be there with our boy.
We need
Doogie.
To do this.
Doogie, move over. We need your time slot, Doogie.
We need that. Yeah, yeah, right. Doug Kazarian, help us out.
Listen to that voice, damn. Man. Man. If she's my girl, okay, she
say hi to your mom.
To
text your mama right now and tell her hello.
She's
you know she's. I know she's listening.
No, she already been texting me about Destiny Child. She's like, tell the truth, baby. She said she looked it up. LaToya Lucky. She's like, baby, are you right?
LaToya got
keep speaking that loop.
LaToya got kicked out because Beyonce said she was too cute. Really is a thing.
Yes. Like this. Listen, Black Twitter. We all know this in Black Twitter.
See, I always felt like
Why else did they kick her out of the group?
I don't know. I didn't know they kicked her out. I don't know the history of it.
And I think Pops was reckless eyeballing. You know, you can't trust him as long as he's gone.
Reckless eyeballing. Reckless eyeballing.
A little bit too nice. Like, hold up. Why she got to get a song? Hold up. You like, oh, hell no, Pops.
I always thought that's why Bobby Brown left New Edition. Because it was like he knew he was better and they weren't letting him
shine.
Because everybody got a turn. He's like, man, I'm the front man.
He couldn't sing
and
like Johnny,
Ralph was just too
but,
good.
But he couldn't sing like better than Johnny Gill. They put Johnny Gill in the group. They didn't even tell them that Johnny Gill was getting in the group.
Yeah.
He's like, y'all, they didn't tell you? Like, man, my bad, bro.
Who
shouldn't be singing is the dude, Michael Bivins. And the other two, the dude that I thought, Ronnie, man, can Ronnie even sing? I never heard Ronnie sing nothing.
Well, that's the best thing about being in a boy band. It's like you only need one guy that can sing, and then everybody else just fakes it.
18 albums. I ain't never heard this dude's voice. I don't know what the hell Ronnie sound like. Can anybody out there that listen to music, can you tell me what Ronnie sound like? Even with Bell, when he was with the Bell DeVoe, never heard his voice. He was just in the back. Michael Bivins come with the rap. He is in the back doing
the
two-step.
That's the best part of it. That's being Stacey King with Michael Jordan. It's like, you don't have to know if I can play or not.
We knew everybody in Boys and Men could sing. Yeah, Wanye. You had to do the deep voice. Baby, I didn't know that. I never leave you in your life, baby. I love you, baby.
We lost him. Yeah, rest in peace.
You know what I'm saying?
Hey, so the Knicks looked ugly. It looked terrible last night. It looked really bad. And Jeff Van Gundy went off on the ESPN broadcast just about how you can't keep doing the same thing and expect a new result. It's been 50 games. That starting five is the worst five in the league. It's statistically proven. It just doesn't work. So what you got to do is you've got to figure out by February 10th, which is a trade deadline, is how do you fix it? Well, you don't fix it by just let's change up the furniture. You've got to get a brain for this team. They do have pieces. They're missing something to bring it all together, and that would be a point guard. That would be a maestro. Hardest thing to find. Don't trade just to trade.
But is it a brain good enough out there to sacrifice
If you
your
can't
assets?
Get it, you're going to have to keep waiting for it. But unfortunately, that's the problem. Everybody just wants to make a trade so it looks different. It's not going to change until you have somebody that can put everybody in place, organize the offense, and get it going. And Kemba Walker can't do that on a nightly basis, 38 minutes a night. You need somebody that can. Nothing will change until that happens. Mark my words.
You'll be stuck with Derrick Rose.
Championship talk tomorrow. Trash talk tomorrow. See you, Bart.
Uh-huh.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.